Hey Rob.
How are you?
How's it hanging?
It's great. A bit to the right.
A bit to the right and a bit low.
Red Raw. Red Raw. With Rob and Laura.
How are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm actually great.
I never ask you how you were.
Okay, go for it.
You always ask, how are you?
I'm good.
How's your week been?
I was very cranky for a couple of days. But I'm back now to myself. Isn't it funny? Do you know, in the midst of like being extremely cranky, I'm like, I'm not cranky, I'm fine. It's just everybody around me is being insane. And then you realise, oh no, it was me. Like, I feel back to myself now normal.
I don't think you don't like not being a kind of happy, positive version of a human being.
Yeah.
And if you get cranky, you get cranky at being cranky. And then you'll get cranky at somebody who says that you're cranky.
Oh yeah, and I can be this one is going to choke. I can be ferociously cranky. I think as the night goes on, do you know, like as in like Shane Finch's work about 6, and I'm kind of all right then. But by about 9, I could be just like a bit of a prick. Shane goes out to the toilet and he comes back in, and I'm like, there's a load of stuff wrong with me.
Do you know when you're cranky like that? Now, would you have any kind of an awareness that you can make people in the room, not me nor Shane, feel often?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I'm very conscious of that, because a couple of nights ago, like, it was just a rough day with the kids, but I was too rowdy. I was way too rowdy. I just wasn't able. I just felt like there had been an awful lot of people kind of clawing at me, and like just a lot of hands on me. Do you know what I mean? Just a lot of small hands on me. And like children's hands. Yeah. But like there, I just felt a bit overwhelmed, but I kind of lashed out. And then Polly was sad and she was in bed crying. And I was like, that's my fucking fault now. And I said to her, I said, look, Pet, I said, Mommy was just a bit cranky there. And she was like, oh, no, I'm not crying because of you at all. But I knew she was. Mm. And I went down to Shane then and I was like, I feel like I've actually, there's emotional scars there now that I've caused. And Shane was like, Ira, shut up, you should like. But damn, I just.
Catch him in a headlock.
Oh, I put him, baggage, whole lot. I said, get up to the Montanati, stay away from me. No, I didn't. But I was rowdy. But do you know what my problem is? It's hard to crack me out of it. Like, if I'm cross at 7, you can be certain that's it now for the night. I've just given up on any kind of hope of being nice. I'm just going to be a bollocks now until the next day. And then I'll try again the next day.
Shane just leaves it go.
He's very silent.
Shane, in the sense of, like, do you know, when I was growing up, the idea of a man...
Yeah.
When I think back, you know, to my youth, a man was somebody who worked in a building line, who was very manly and tough.
Like macho.
Macho and who could fight.
Yeah.
Shane is very much not that.
Shane is sparkly, we called him. Now, I'd say he could fight. I'm just trying to think, could he throw a dig? He probably wouldn't.
I'm not saying this is right. No. I'm just saying.
No, but this is interesting now, right? Because I had to launch a blistering defence of you there during the week, right? This is nicely brought on now, Robert. Well done, Robert. So somebody got on to me about our episode a couple of weeks ago.
I'm learning these things off you. I'm going to ask you things more in future.
I was getting away with not being asked nothing there for a while. So a couple of weeks ago, we did an episode about the differences between men and women, right? I mean, is the topic groundbreaking? No. Podcast groundbreaking? Yes. Big time. Big time. So we discussed that we had a fight and we kind of discussed the ins and outs of it or whatever. So a friend of mine got on to me, absolutely allergic to you because of the fight.
That's
right?
Madness.
And I was like, first of all, it was a year ago, like, as in we've definitely moved on.
Okay.
And second of all, I said, Rob defended himself on the podcast, but I said off, like, when we had the fight, we would have had voice notes back and forth where we resolved it.
Yeah.
And where you'd have, like, I'd have said sorry for being rowdy and you'd have said sorry and it would have all been grand. And she was like, oh, okay, I didn't realise any of that. And then it got me thinking, I was like, well, why didn't that come across on the podcast? Because, like, in my head always, you're a doughty, lovely man, right? But then I'm like, that's not necessarily what you would choose to project. Like, I think, so her thing was that she said, you're still very old school and that you've got that kind of women are hysterical and like, would they not cop on and I'm the kind of big man? And I was like, oh God, that's not Rob at all.
Yeah.
But I think you probably have an element of that in your character, but I think it's because of being in sport.
Go on.
So that the image, if you want to talk about being a man then, I wouldn't say you're that less sparkly than Shane. But you keep it better hidden. Like, let's define sparkly. So Shane is like, Shane is bait into like Taylor Swift.
All right.
And not in a, that he fancies her way, in that he appreciates her boss bitchness. Like, Shane wasn't sporty. Shane went to Christian secondary school, but was very much the non-sporty, non-rugby boy.
Right.
You know, was very into school, was very good at school, would probably consider to be quite nerdy, was probably socially like a little bit kind of like, he's only kind of, I feel like Shane's only kind of stepping into his sparkliness fully now because I suppose he had to hide it. This is not to say that he's gay, like, as in Shane's not gay. Of course he's not gay. He's a demon in the sack. But it's like, he is not what a traditional image of masculinity would be. He's possibly more reflective of kind of a new type of masculinity. He's a straight person who is appreciates, like, he sits down and watches Married at First Sight with me, he watches Love Island, and he's beige into them. It's not like that he's doing it for the little woman, it's that he's like, I mean, he called Married at First Sight cinema the other night. But he's, so he's those things. But I think, and he's a doughty dad and he loves his kids and he's not afraid to show affection and cuddle them in. And, you know, he'd be all about, like, if he buys Polly, he calls it her fashion. He gets her little outfits and stuff from TK Maxx that he picks out specially himself. And, like, he's that really doughty, sweet, lovely man and father that I think you are as well. But publicly, you might be more like, your little chin might be more jutty outy.
I don't know, Laura. I think, I think there's all like different versions of yourself in whatever environment that you're in.
Yeah.
So definitely growing up, obviously, no, looking back at my child, like, I can look back at myself 20, 25 years ago and I don't recognise parts of me. Like, it's like a completely different person from, go on. You'll pop on now, right?
Well, but obviously, one part wasn't working very well.
From the environment that you grew up in. So, like, so back to, like, I grew up in a house. My dad was small, wiry, he was a plasterer. So imagine the background. He grew up in Ballyfihan. He grew up in the tough, like, they're tough upbringings, like.
Yeah.
And then, like, growing up in building sites, you're working with fellas who you think are really hard, tough men with tattoos, big arms, muscles, they talk tough like that and that makes them tougher. They walk a bit with their arms out and their legs pointed outwards as well. But all of it is to project that you are hard and tough, and being able to fight and scrap growing up for me was part of being a tough, manly boy. And if you had that side, Shane side, you would just block it away because you had to be tough, like, everything had to be tough. I think things are very different now, but I can remember, like, just, you have, like, just fighting when you were younger. I can remember one guy called up to my door one time, actually. The two of them, I'm going to give their full name for the lads. So, Mossy Ford, remember the fella who I was on about one day who did the crush in the school?
Yes.
Mossy was a good 20 stone.
Oh, yeah, like, that fella. Stage, right? Yeah, all right,
Mossy. Song fella, no, I think he's a born again Christian, no. And Michael Ward. Okay. Wardy's fucking hardy boy. Okay. You know, he's about 6'2", I'd say. And was a good man to go to the road. He called up to my house one night when he was a young fella. Knocked on my door, Laura, right?
Why?
He says...
to play Monopoly?
He says, I heard you're handy. He wanted to fight me.
Oh.
I sure, I looked him up and down straight away. And in my head, like, he was fucking... He'd have killing me, like.
Okay.
And I opened my door. It's brazen out, right? Opened the door. Looked at him up and down, goes, go ahead, man, stop fucking lying, will you? And I walked through the two of them and out my gate and down the road. Sure, I was going nowhere, but the boys were completely fucking like...
what age were you?
I was probably, I'd say, I could have been 13 or 14. But they didn't know what to do. I defused it, but I was cute enough to get out of it, like.
Yeah.
Because I knew, like, I wasn't stupid either, but... But that was that world. Mad,
sorry,
mad.
Where did you go?
I don't know. I just went down, fucking got away and kind of was relieved that I wasn't going to get a beating off Michael Ward.
He'd behind an old pole. You couldn't see
and
him.
I
he
remember,
was so slight.
But this fellow Wardy, I remember him then. Like, there used to be mad stuff going on down in Ballyfihan, like with fucking the Lennons and Crusty Walsh. And I remember boys were hard, mad fellas. Like, I remember Crusty Wardy Walsh. Went down. There were stories of Wardy years later going down with a hurley. and he fucking gave the boys a beating, like, okay, you know?
So, not Krusty Walsh.
And I don't know, is he dead now?
Oh, no. Yeah, Krusty Walsh.
Committed suicide,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, and
oh,
his poor brother was, not his boy, like, no, his poor brother was in a, you'd see him there around town, Danny, a mad fella. He was in a car crash. They robbed the car. And they crashed it. I don't know, did a guy die in the car, and he ended up with a lot of problems after it. And
Jesus,
see him around town there. Yeah, but they're that kind of world that you're around. But so you have to kind of be tough to survive, because if you showed any bit of weakness or softness, Laura, you'd get a hiding, eh?
But imagine, Rob, there must have been people that were soft.
I know,
that were around them, and imagine
it's different now.
But it is, and
but
it
even
isn't.
In sport, like,
yeah, like, but sorry, wait now. But do you not feel that you still have that, like, 5% in your mind? Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. That you still, you still would like to be perceived as tough.
Not perceived as it, but it's
not perceived as it. I am tough.
You had to be hard, because I think even if you were racing, when points of the race came, if you left any weakness in, that you could break. So you had to be fucking hard, like, and you had to think of points in the race. Like I can even remember racing guys, and you would lap them on the line to totally demoralise them, to actually to put into their head that you can never, ever beat me. And wow, it was everything, even turning up training every day, the whole mentality was, you're breaking other fellas' wills all the time for over 20 years. Like, you're in environments and call rooms and Olympics, everything was about fucking competition and breaking the people around you.
But you see, hello, meet your twin, right? Just in a different setting. I used to go to my exams in college, right? Dressed up to the nines, right? So if you had an exam at 9 a.m, Laura would be there, full face of makeup, amazing outfit on, right? Just to freak everybody else out. Everybody that's there scrappling with their, like, last notes and, like, panic, and looking at me going, how does she have time to get dressed up? Why isn't she stressed? It was all mind games. Mm. I go in, I know I'm going to destroy you academically, but let me be sure that you know.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? The desire to... It's mind games, isn't it?
That's your world where you came... It's like what you have to do to perform, or where I grew up, you think that's the way you have to act, and it can have the opposite effect.
How do you mean?
Because I think, like, I did a load of training in Poland, and you'd be going down to go training with the boys, and you're in the car, and it's all fucking aggression, and it's nearly toxic masculinity, like, and it's all aggression, and... Instead of getting to the point, I remember one day specifically going, it was 2005, we were in Almería, we're going down to the track to do a session. So this session would be like, we do a 2K warm up, then you do 600 metres fucking hard, like 2:15, so 6 minute mile and walking, which is so hard, 200 metres recovery, then 400 metres and 128, 130, which is under 6 minute mile for people who do sport, and then 200 metres recovery in under a minute, and you do that 10 times. It's absolute torture. And you're going down to do the session, and the Polish guy turned around to me and he goes, Robbie, what is wrong with you? I said, fucking session, oh, by the track's going to be fierce hard. And he says, why are you baby now? You train November, December, January, now you are ready for this. You know, stop being baby.
Yeah. I appreciate your Polish accent.
And I was like, fuck it, he was right. So, like, it doesn't matter if you act tough or if you are tough. Like if Shane was doing sport, or if he was a footballer, and you have the work done and you're able to do it, doesn't matter what you portray being a hard man, or, do you know?
Like, if Shane had the cheek to act tough, I'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing, boy? Like,
but you could
not
be tro-
But I have a question. Is it not exhausting to have to seem tough? Like, they're in that situation.
I know.
Like, is that not exhausting?
It is, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I sometimes see these young fellas that are doing either GAA or rugby or whatever they're doing, and I'm like, are you not just exhausted?
I know.
By having to drag your hole around that place and be like,
but you know what,
it's
it
a
is,
team
Laura.
Effort, and we all do this, and at the end of the day, and they're walking, and they're trying just walk normally.
I know.
What is this? What is this cool walk that
I think
you're doing?
A lot of it
just
is
walk.
When you go to school, you think when you're in school, the guys who are the biggest, the strongest,
yeah,
the fastest, they're the most popular. They get all the girls.
Yeah.
So the perception, and then other guys are probably trying to compensate, trying to get up to that level and being heard.
Yeah.
Whereas I know, like, even being involved with the Cork footballers, like two fellas now that just come to my mind instantly, like Dan O'Mahony and Colm O'Callaghan. They're fucking animals and they're the nicest,
yeah,
kindest men you're likely to meet. Like,
yeah,
they're such nice guys, like really very smart and a kind of, but they're as hard as nails. They'd be afraid of nothing.
But
and
Rob,
they would fucking chop, they'd cut you in half.
Which is fine. And like, we all have that kind of killer instinct, but like, what would be wrong? I don't know those two lads, so this is not specifically about them, but what would be wrong with more men showing that publicly? Like, I think you are actually fairly good for showing that you're a nice, normal man,
yeah,
right? But then in certain, like, I remember when we were on the radio first and people were saying to you, you were not being yourself, and you're kind, you were kind of like, no, I am. Like, I don't give a shit about Ed Sheeran. I don't care less about Love Island. As if, like, that Ed Sheeran and Love Island were going to be the downfall of your masculinity. Yeah. But it's because some of the people that kind of might have known you when you were younger are trying to force you back into being like, you're this.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the masses. I find... like the older I've got, like in anybody in any walk of life, it doesn't matter what it is. If they've worked hard for something, there's something always in that that humbles you and it makes you a nicer person. But there's also a part of it that you know when you have to be fucking on as well.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, you can't, like, if you have to go down and play, like, we're looking at Parky Queeves there now.
Yeah.
If you have to go down and play a match there, you have to be tough and hard and you can't let any weakness in. But you need to know what your process is. But then afterwards it's done. I know you see that in Spain. Like, there's different levels of masculinity. Then in other countries, like in Poland, boys are very stern from what happened during the war and all of that. In Russia, the part, the sports side of me that loved in Russia, the men in Russia, the men are the men. Back to your friend, no giving out about me. but the man is the man. And the man does sport and the man's respected and the man doesn't smile because somebody who smiles, they're seen as a clown and they're not sporty and hard.
But is that man not a fucking idiot, no?
But that part for sport is great, but it suppresses so many other sides of them and,
like,
it's hard.
What is that man like in a relationship then? And what is that man like then when he has a child? Like, as in, are you still not smiling at the child?
Mm.
Like, if that's the case, then you're a fool and you're like... your masculinity, if that's the most important thing to you, but you can't crack a smile to your little baby, then I fucking don't want you in my space.
But they don't know, Laura, like. And then when I was in Spain,
as if there's a load of Russian lads queuing up outside to be in my space not smiling outside the door. Fuck off, go away, the laddie.
Yeah, but then in Spain, like, what I loved about in Spain, like, and I spent loads of summers there training, I don't know that I mentioned, it was being Guadix,
a place called Guadix, is it?
And the kids would train fucking really good. They'd do all their work. And the boys and girls would be sitting down afterwards and they could just be chatting. They'd have their arms around each other, really affectionate. And there was no sense of, like, I remember growing up in Cork, and it's there now. You go into town now and there's a sense of threat.
There is.
All the time.
There
and
it's
is, fucking
yeah.
horrible
yeah.
to be like that. And that makes you have your back. There's none in Guadix. People are, like, if you started a fight, I always remember if somebody started a fight in Guadix or if somebody was drunk falling around, it's about, incredible, this is, you know, por qué?
What's the Polish fella doing in Spain?
But they wouldn't, they could, that aggression, but then when they race, they're the best. They'd have their work done,
yeah.
They'd be tactically brilliant. And then afterwards, and I can remember chatting to Monse, a girl out there in Guadix, and I would go on, we would have these chats, and she says, Rob, your sport is one part of your personality.
Mm.
Your family is your family. Your friends are your friends. But I think the culture, and maybe it comes from the GA culture in Ireland, it's all intertwined into one. And a hardy walking down the street, fellas going to matches as if they're fucking going into an MMA ring.
Yeah,
it's like, relax, will you, boys?
Yeah, and what's the big deal? Who'd give a shit if you used your normal walk? Yeah. Use your two legs and go into the pitch.
But you know, then when you're in that environment and you're looking around, it's nearly like, it's the nature of the sheep in us, like COVID.
They're all copies of each other.
We'll
yeah.
all do and conform to what that is.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to break the mould.
And it's very hard for, like, kids and people that are on the way up now. Where's the generation going to be that decides, no, we're not going to be like that. We're not going to put the emphasis on being, like, toxically masculine. We're going to expect that there's all different types of masculinity and they're all equally valid.
Mm.
Like, why does it have to be our little soft boys that are the ones that break the mold? Why can't boys in general be considered to be quite soft? Like, why is it that they have to be these hard fucking idiots?
Mm.
Like, and do you know what I notice in town? Like, when you say that there's a threat in town, it's always like kind of like young fellas kind of spitting and kicking, and then there's these wands kind of hanging off them as if they're amazing, and kind of dumbing themselves down, when you know that some of those girls would be well able and be harder than them and able to crush them. 100%. But that they fall into this kind of stupid role. And I do think, like, this isn't just about like attack the male side of things. Like, I do think there's problem for girls as well. Like, as in, I was saying this to you the other day, I think there's a problem, like, for me as a girl, I don't want to be perceived as a silly giddy goat. I don't want to be perceived as being hysterical. You know, the way that a woman can get cast in that very easily. So sometimes I probably hide elements of me that are girly and that I'm almost a bit more like masculine in my kind of like directness or whatever. A big man, really. Fuck, my head just went, my chin just went like rough. Whereas actually, like, really, if you ask me what I'd love to be doing, I'd love to be in my gym jams with my dressing gown and have my big pink bow on my head drinking Prosecco. Yeah. And like, there's part of me is like, yeah, but you know, you need to present kind of more badass than that. Yeah, like, there's a lot of women with pink bows in their head that are badass.
So you imagine in the male world then,
yeah,
like the amount of boys who are trying to overcompensate to get a seat at the table, like, or fellas trying to get old dolls when they're teenagers, and what girls go for. And then the interesting thing, you put 10 lads into a room and you put 10 girls into a room, you line them all up against the wall, and there's a natural attraction. You'll be attracted to what your
level is. Yeah.
Like what your, the opposite to your kind of, what your looks are.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Remember fucking chat to, he's a doctor actually, Dave Kelly, saying this in Beijing. He goes, fuck it, Rob, he says, I'd be fucking attracted to cats and dogs and everything, I look cat man. But there is a piece of that as well, that, like, so like the smaller guys in general, not me, because I would make up for it in other ways, so you have to, no, when you're, but you
how
have
do you
to,
mean
by fucking having to be good at sport, being able to be scrap and all of that. But imagine general then, the guy who's not the big, strong, fast fella, and they could be brilliant in other areas, they could lose their voice in school and they can become actually more stressed, and that stress response, it can be very, very frustrating as well, you know. And I'd see it, Laura, like, I could see it there, and I seen it actually with Kyle growing up. He was big. He was always big, and he was treated different. He was treated more of an adult because he was big.
Yeah, which
and he
was unfair.
A teddy bear, like, such a lovely kid. And then when I look back at the difference in our upbringings, like I'd never getting hugged from my mum or dad.
Oh,
or,
stop
like,
it,
I can
Rob.
Never remember my mum like hugging me or kissing me or my dad giving me hugs. And now when he does it, no, he go, I love you, Rob. I'll give you a ring during the week, Dad.
But why? Why can't you say I love
this
you?
This is very hard, like, because
of
it was
not being.
Yeah, it was never done growing up, so it feels very unnatural. Whereas, like, I adore my kids, like,
yeah,
like,
I'm
fucking very affectionate with them, and like, even like Kyle used to come into us for cuddles when he was like 11 or 12, and he was nearly my height. And Marion putting her hand over one morning, and she goes, "Is that you, Rob? Or is it?" I was like, no, ma'am. And he was like, fuck it, he'll have to stop coming in here. He's too big. No, like, but you know.
No, but.
But then when he was out in a boat, they would look as if he was treated as if he was a lot older. And I would actually end up being a way more protective of Kyle than Megan.
Yeah.
Because she was craftier.
Yeah,
she could survive
girls
more.
Are crafty. Yeah.
Whereas I fucking, like, I'd be fierce protective of him, and he's 6'3", you know.
But it's
you know?
The same. It's the same with Alfie, because Alfie is 6 and Alfie is sparkly. Alfie is his own little lovely man, right? But he turned around to me the other day and he said he wants to play football, right? And like, I said it to Shane, I said, we have taken good care of the sparkly side of this boy. Like, he is, you know, he loves singing, he loves dancing, all that. I said, we're not catering for the other side. And if that side is in there, if there is a sporty little boy inside there, and if that side can somehow protect him as he goes up through school, like, then we must bring him to football, right? But then in my head I was like, but why? Is it to toughen him up? Is it to hide that little soft side of him?
You don't need it. Like,
it's to keep him safe. I want to keep him safe. But he should be safe anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter how he is, he should be safe.
It's that instinct to keep him safe. I remember a good friend of mine, he's so posh, he's from Dublin, and I remember him ringing me years ago.
Is he getting his full name?
No, I'm not going to say it, because these are personal stories.
Okay.
And like, the kids would probably be privately schooled now, and you know they're going to be soft.
Yeah.
The perception of soft kids.
Yeah.
And he was bringing him the tough parks up in the glen, and the drummer would like to make him tough, and it's fucking so bad.
It makes me so sad.
And he was telling me one day that he was getting the kids into the car, and he opened the door of the car, and there was a woman in the car next to him, and she goes, "You're after hitting the door of my car." He goes, "Oh, fucking," and he starts roaring back at her, like, ridiculous stuff, but not tough. Like, tough you can be, like, that perception of being tough, because I know kids, like even some kids there now I see in sport, and they come from a tough area, and I see them down training, and I always see, like, the perception of toughness and what's really tough is very different. Like, I would see these kids, when the real pressure comes on, it's fine when they're in control of the environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can be street smart, and you can talk, and you can intimidate people.
Yeah.
But ultimately, when it comes to the point of being under pressure, that's where you find out if somebody's really tough.
Yeah.
You know, when there's other, your peers there, like there's another 20 people who are as tough, how can you manage with it mentally?
Yeah, and are you all talk, really?
Are you all talk? Are you prepared? Have you done your work? Have you got on? Because I found in sport, the guys who have a real understanding of how tough things get at the end, they just stay quiet. Mm. Whereas the moty fuckers end up doing nothing. And like even Percy there, the Swedish guy, there's no toxic masculinity in him.
Oh, he's not. He's a softy.
But he's the toughest man
yeah.
I fucking have ever seen in sport. Like he's able to absolutely mangle himself. And there's no...
But he's not putting any energy into being a big, aggressive dope.
No.
He's putting all his energy into, like, focusing on winning the Olympics. He's putting all his emphasis on, like, his energy and his mind is correctly focused on the right thing. He's not wasting time trying to seem cool. Like, that lad drinks more chocolate milk than...
He's geeky.
Yeah, and he'd be all delighted putting up his chocolate milk on Instagram. And
he's a real good example, then, I think, to other sports, because he's prepared. He's doing all his work. Like, the tough of him. So back to them kids, was like going, I know, I've seen you, I've seen into your soul when things get hard, how you fucking shy away, how you go missing. I goes, do the work and show me you're tough when it really counts, not by intimidating people, not walking around being tough. And I would even have in the club, like even with the athletes, like the other night, now I pulled the boy out, you had all of the girls over on one side and you had the boys over the other side, and I called him over and I made him introduce himself to the whole group.
Aww.
And he was absolutely mortified. And he was like, girls, do you know this fella's name? And what's your name? He couldn't say, what's your name? Introduce yourself to the girls.
Yeah.
So I got him to introduce themselves. I then got him to warm up. So to kind of create...
That there's not a divide.
Yeah. And I see him with Cahill's a way more balanced than I ever was as a kid. Like you see him on the pitch, he'll fucking half you.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice young man.
Yeah.
And you've met him.
Oh, God, he's a lovely man.
Because
he's
the other way, Laura. Like, I had to grow up and you're fucking trying to, be tough, and you're fucking fighting down in the park, and you're fighting this fella, and you're fighting on the pitch. And it's a waste of energy. And when you get older, you realise that's not what tough is.
No, and like, as well, you know what you said there about if you put 10 boys and 10 girls into a room, you'd be drawn to certain people. Like, I often think about this. Like, like Shane probably thought when he was in school that no girl was ever going to fancy him, right? Hello, Laura was definitely going to fancy you because he was exactly my type, right? And he was, geeky and fun and quirky. Like apparently down in Irish College, he was like ferocious crack, right?
Yeah.
And that was where he was able to be himself because he was most comfortable there. He wasn't having to put any facade
up. But what was
the
stereotype of boy that you were meant to be attracted to when you were a teenager?
See, well, Laura's not interested in no stereotypes.
In general,
I assume it would have been kind of muscly, sporty guys. But Rob, if you had found the mankiest looking young fella in the world and given him a guitar, I'd have been like, yes, my friend, I love you. Right? Anyone with a guitar, I was like, I am yours. Anyone with kind of long hair, anyone who was crack. Like, so you'd almost love to say to boys and girls now, like, as in, somebody will fancy you.
If that's
important to you. Like, as in, I'm not attracted to we'll say Love Island type of looking fella at all. Not at all. Give me the little weird, awkward, kind of chatty, funny, like glasses, quirky, sparkly. That's always going to have been my type. So it's almost like, you know, all these lads trying to aspire to be the same. It's it's like it. That's not what makes the world interesting. Like trying to be tough. Like Jesus Almighty, it's just it's such a pressure on young fellas. I see them. I see the pressure on their shoulders. They're walking around to try and be cool. I like if they could just. It's that thing I always say. If you could just hold on, you might not be cool in school. You might not even be cool after school for a while. But you'll find your find your space.
But I think toughness is like if somebody has a passion for something and they want something and how they dedicate themselves to get to that point. And it doesn't matter if you want to be an actor or a sports person or a writer or whatever it is. If somebody doing an apprenticeship, like my brother Elton did an apprenticeship in plastering and he's taller than me, you know. But he was tiny starting out. And I can remember working with him.
And his name was Elton. Like, as in people must.
And he's fucking, like, I can remember working with him, Laura, like, back in the 2005 when I was injured. And I remember looking at him going, oh, man, he's been so proud of him, like, because he had to work. He put his head down. He got his apprenticeship done. And he was doing so well. And he was a brilliant worker. And he was so, and I can remember saying to him one time, I was like, why don't you get a bit, not a bit smarter, but manage things a bit better that you're running the business and that you're not working as hard and that you're getting other guys to do it. He just blew his mind. He loved going in to work hard every day and he had massive pride in it.
Yeah.
And I remember, and it, that's great as well. So I think anybody...
That was probably a realisation for you as well, not to be like coming in and trying to fix things.
You'll always come at people at your own
with
angle.
With your own stuff,
because he ran as well and I saw like how talented he could have been. And I'd get carried away and he'd be looking at
but
me.
But he
going,
didn't want it.
He didn't want it.
No,
he didn't. Like, Robert, relax.
He's got lovely arms.
I often but you know, in that sense.
I only met him once, but when I did, I was like, I like his arms.
Or my buddy Luke, I met him the other week for a coffee.
Psychologist Luke.
And I coached him and he competed with Ireland. Wouldn't be that masculine figure at all, even though he's a big, big, strong man. Very smart. Fucking great to chat to. Very well rounded. Had a different upbringing and he's a doctor of psychology, you know?
Yeah.
11 years studying. And I'm so proud of him.
But also, Rob, like, this is the problem. He wouldn't be that masculine because he's very intelligent.
But he's a tough boy.
No. But that's what we need to rejig. Like, as in, like, lads that are really clever, you know, into their books, really, really wise, really calm. That can also be masculinity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as in, I think that's what's wrong. I do think there's a shift probably coming a bit. But, like, there's so many people stuck in this notion of being tough and this notion of, like, that sport kind of equals being a man. And it makes me think of, like, the little gay fella that's on the team that is kind of almost having to hide that he's gay because he's into sport. As in, everybody can kind of be into everything. And it's just kind of like, how do we undo that for, like, my small boys that are coming up along the line? How do I, like, Alfie's going to go play football now. If he's great at it, fine. If he's not great at it, grand. If he wants to stop, stop. But I'm doing that because I've been at parties in Alfie Slass. He's only in junior infants and the girls are all about Alfie. But then I'm looking, I'm like, does he have friends who are boys? Are the tough, allegedly tough, they're six, like, are they including my boy? And I can see already that he is not one of the lads. And I'm like, am I putting him into football now to make him one of the lads? Do I want him to be one of the lads? No. I don't. I want him to be his own little self. And I really, really would love to break down the notion of what one of the lads is. Alfie will find his people.
But I think being masculine, Laura, and I'd say
put your
to my kids,
willy away.
It's just being like, it's nearly being confident and kind to other people as well.
Well, I actually think it takes a proper man to be able to be kind.
Yeah, and to have
and publicly
to chat
kind.
To somebody and have that confidence to include other people. And I see it with some of the kids in the club, like if they can include people or chat to other kids and then when they have to do what they have to do, that they can give it their all. It's just a balance.
Totally. And I think, like, like excluding people or ganging up on someone, like they are not the signs of a strong man. They're or a strong woman. They're the signs of a weak little piss arse. And it's the same with like people online. You like we often give out about people trolling. A lot of them that troll me are big strong men going, she's some dose, blah blah blah. And it's like, you're a weak little shit is what you are, my friend. You think that you're the picture of masculinity. I wouldn't spit in you if you walked past me. Like it's,
but again, that comes back down to, I think, like anybody who has put any effort or any commitment or any work into anything, they're very slow to criticise somebody else because they would have felt vulnerable and weak and doubted themselves, and to go away and lash out and like, and I've had it online. I think it's awful, and I've seen some of the comments, like some of the negative comments, like we did an article there the other week. And you're like, these fuckers are only living a mile away from me. It's not like we're in America.
Give and them their air code, Rob. Give them the air code.
I genuinely would love to fucking, like, not that I would, but I'd love to go down and sort it out or call them out. Like, are you for real? You have a picture with your kids on your Facebook. I could see everything. And you're fucking having comments about me.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You don't know me at all.
Like, I saw one comment about, like, oh, they were crying over leaving the radio. Yeah, we were. Like, as in, I bawled on air because we were leaving, because it was shit. Like, and you spoke out very calmly. You didn't cry, but you spoke out very calmly. And it was like, that will have helped somebody.
Of course.
Like, being that vulnerable and that honest will help. But also this notion of, they're like, would they ever shut up talking about it? To be honest, guys, we're not actually talking about it all the time. It's just that it's the starting point. Everybody has to talk about it. But the thing is like, to be, I think one of the reasons, this, I remember at the time when we were leaving the radio, one of the reasons that it really got to me was like, we have enough toxic, white, loudmouth, smart arse, fucking idiots on the radio. Quick witted, quippy. Hey, we've enough of them, right? You weren't that. And I was like, the world has enough of that role model, in inverted commas. And it's like, Rob is an actual normal man who talks beautifully about his kids, beautifully about his wife, openly about his sport, openly about like failings and stuff. We don't have enough of them. There still isn't enough of that in the public, I don't think. Or there isn't enough people willing to be, like, you're willing to be pretty vulnerable most of the time. But like, obviously you hold back a little bit of your jutty out jaw or whatever. Sometimes I'm like, oh no, did I make him? Have I? I make people women, like... Which is a terrible thing to say. Like, as in, I make the soft side come out of people. I know I do this to any man that's ever been in my life. No wonder Shane's so sparkly. But it's like, but even to say that that's making somebody a woman, that's not correct. Like, as in, this notion of like a certain type of man or a certain type of woman, it's such bollocks. I just love to do away with it.
Yeah, but it comes down to prep and stuff. Like, you can see fellas there, especially in sport, and they're fucking pretending they're hard. And then when it does get tough, they'll absolutely crumble. And what happens behind that then, imagine the anxiety. And I remember even when Cahill was 5, we were down in a park. I'm not going to say who it was, but there was another kid there, and the kid hit Cahill, and the dad was with him, and I was with Cahill, and Cahill was crying.
Yeah.
And Marion found out, and she was fucking livid. Like Alfie's age, you know.
Yeah.
And I said to Mara, I said, Mara, relax. So when he's 16, 17, he'll start learning how to be a proper man and how to deal with that. But let him have a nice childhood. Let him have a nice childhood. No, but life will teach
but
you.
Also,
you're 16. But it does, Laura.
A proper man can cry.
No,
I even see Alfie.
You can.
I see Alfie sometimes. He's like, I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry. And I'm like, please do.
But I know the other kid then went through periods of being massively anxious. Mm-hmm. And even now, he puts on a front. He talks like this. And he's not even from middle class background.
Go on away, boy.
You go away. And Kyle's way more secure. Because there is points. Because when you do have to do sport.
For a second, I thought I knew him. I do know somebody like that.
Yeah. But the it is tough. Like, sport is very, very tough. So once you're prepared and you know what you're going into, then there's a calmness. It's like, all right, I'll deal with it. I have all of the tools to deal with it.
Yeah.
But you can't make up for that with fakery, because you'll be found out. So our toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
So I think the guys then who actually really know that landscape, they're more balanced and they're friendlier, because when they're on, they're on. When they have to go to war, they go to war. Am I making
sense? It's like that they don't have a chip on their shoulder because they're at ease in themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think there's actually enough emphasis put on being easy in yourself, being calm, like knowing that you're prepared, you're ready to do whatever you need to do.
And if you are going to be like soft, and it doesn't take away from what you're going to be in this world.
Yeah.
Do you know what? And I think that's a lot of that is in Ireland.
Well, I think...
And do you know what? And I can be guilty of it because my boys raced there the other week and one of the messages... one of the messages... I put in two funny messages, actually. One of them was like, going, boys, I said, don't waste any of the energy that you have now from recovering the last few days. Be careful of the company that you're with.
Yeah.
Don't leave any other fellas pull off of your energy. If you see, if you're away and say the Swedish guy, you ain't going world champion. But then like when you go to masculinity, there could be other guys from Italy or yeah. Spain or Mexico and they could be hanging around with, say, Percy. And I don't want him to show them that soft side. And keep them a little bit afraid. Don't let them fucking fully in.
Keep a bit of an air of mystery.
Do you know what I mean? A mystery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So be careful who you let into your circle. Let them be afraid. Let that bit of mystery be there, even though there's no mystery there.
Yeah.
And you perform tomorrow
even
because
you just want to have your chocolate milk inside your bedroom.
Because there's going to come to a point in the race that it's so, so fucking tough.
Mm.
A little doubt can come in and go, oh, he is really tough. Mm-hmm. Or he's a tough man.
Yeah, right, yeah, but, yeah.
Or I know in the sense in sport, I remember in Barcelona in 2010, a Polish guy, I ended up finishing fourth and I unlapped myself from the field and the Polish guy Gregor goes, Robbie, please help me. He was in third, he ended up winning a medal.
Mm.
And in my head was like, oh, you're fucking weak. And I remember that when we went to Russia when we were in the race and the same scenario happened. I was like, no, I know what your soul is like, you're weak. Oh. You're weak. And
why? Because he asked for help.
He asked for help. But in the sporting context.
Yeah.
And
the panic in your face.
But he tried to control the scenario in the race. Like, we were in the race in Russia. And he was like, Robbie, relax, slow down. And I was like, no. Don't you be posturing at me, boy, because I've seen you at your weakest and I'm going to crush you now.
The mind games.
Oh, yeah, loads of mind. I thought
you were about your business doing your race.
Loads of mind. There's a load because when
sorry,
the crunch...
Sorry, what was the other message?
So the other messages was like... So the last message...
Just that, so many humorous messages in this group.
Right, loads of rest today, boys. Don't waste any of your new energy that you have from recovering. You know, keep your own team and most of all stay away from yourselves. Hashtag team F.
He's a toxic little guy. He's a toxic little guy.
Stay away from yourself is fair as funny, isn't it?
It is fair as funny. Robin, where did you hear it first? Tell them where you heard it
from
first.
You, Laura.
From me. Yeah, thank you. I am a man. Right, sum it up, Rob. Sum it up.
Just be nice. Just be yourself.
Just be yourself. And if yourself is a sparkly little guy who wants... If you want to skip into Parky Queef, I couldn't give a fuck. You don't have to be walking in no tough. If you wanted ballet dance into Parky Queef, just do what you fucking want.
Be yourself.
The world will probably slap you down for being yourself. But if somebody doesn't start rising up again, then it's going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
And I don't want my sparkly boys to be upset in the future.
That'd be grand.
Rob, stay away from yourself. Goodbye! Red Raw. Red Raw. With Rob and Laura.